to The Business Bunker with Paul Andrews.
Welcome back to the Business Bunker Show here on Channel Radio in association with Biz Radio. You're listening to me, Paul Andrews. Excuse me. I've had a tweet from the lovely Zoe Cairns of ZC Social Media, who wishes everybody a Happy New Year. And she says they've got a new blog out, LinkedIn document posts. What are they? And should you be using them in your own post strategy? If you want to find out, go to zcsocialmedia.com/LinkedIn. zcsocialmedia.com/LinkedIn. Check it out. I've also had an email. Let me just get this up. I've had an email from Joy Tuffin of Beams. Beams are a charity. Beams are a local charity supporting disabled children and their families. And they're hosting a Mother's Day afternoon tea on the 14th of March at Wilmington Community Church. That's Wilmington near between Dartford and Bexley. And we'll be grateful if you would be able to publicise this for us, please. Well, of course I will, Joy. I'm always happy to do that. You're a fantastic charity and you deserve all the help you can get. It's a Mother's Day afternoon tea for We Are Beams, Tuesday the 14th of March, 12 till 3. It's at the Wilmington Community Church in Dartford, and it's just £20 a person. Celebrate Mother's Day in style with an exquisite afternoon tea hosted by Jane Lindsay, Master Baker from Hummingbirds. This event will be an enjoyable afternoon filled with conversation, delicious food, entertainment and a raffle. But places are limited. So if you want to book, if you go to register.enthuse.com Mother's Day tea. That's register.enthuse.com Mother's Day afternoon tea. Or you can call 01322 668 501, extension 5. That's 01322 668 501, extension 5. If you want to find out more about that, do just that and join them. You've got plenty of time to sort it out, but the places are limited. So if you are going to go, you need to book fairly soon. So do that. Right. Now, I've got something happening next week. At long last, now that the lockdowns and everything are over, we can go back to doing the Schools Careers 3030 program, which we haven't done for nearly 2 years because of all the things that have been going on with pandemics and the rest of it. So it's wonderful to be back. Before the pandemic hit in 2020, we'd had more than 2,000 students go through the program. So it's great to restart it. And our first event will be taking place at Haysbrook School in Tunbridge. It's in Brook Street, Tunbridge. It's the Haysbrook School. It's happening on January the 11th between 9 and 11 a.m. And basically what we do is we take 20-odd businesses, business owners, business managers, partners from firms or other organizations into a school, and we meet 30 or so A-level students. And we kind of network with those students and talk to those students about what we require from them in terms of skills, qualifications and abilities to work in our industries, and give them an overview of our businesses and the industries that we're in. And it gives the students an opportunity to tell you about what it is they're looking for when they enter the world of work, what their plans are in terms of their further education and qualifications, and to talk about their wants and hopes and future career needs. It's a fantastic thing. It's only a couple of hours out of your day. It's January the 11th, 9 to 11 a.m. If you'd like to know more about the events in general, then go to kentbusinessradio.co.uk/30-30. That's kentbusinessradio.co.uk/30-30. And there tells you all about the program, and we list up and coming events as they're booked. If you'd like to join us on next week's program at Haysbrook School, we'd be more than delighted to have you. Drop me an email at hello@bizradio.co.uk. That's bizradio.co.uk. hello@bizradio.co.uk. And we'll be at the Haysbrook School on January the 11th, 9 till 11 a.m. And we'd love for you to join us there. If you own a business, manage a business, or have any responsibility for hiring future talent. Coming up, the Kent and Medway Business Summit. This is happening on Friday the 13th of January in the award-winning Sibson Building on the Canterbury campus of the University of Kent. That's the Kent Business School, bringing together over 300 businesses, key policymakers and leading academics. The sixth annual summit will focus on the latest news from key projects and leading expert keynote speakers from across the county, alongside question and answer and debate on topics including productivity, sustainability, placemaking and skills. To celebrate the summit being back in its January slot for 2023, we're offering an early bird discount for anyone who signs up for the event over the coming months. You can find out details and a link to book by going to kentbusinessradio.co.uk/calendar. And just while we're talking about placemaking, one of the leading advocates of placemaking, one of the people that talks a lot about placemaking and has done a lot in that area, Mr. Graham Gilpin from Ashford. Just thinking about you at the moment, Graham, and wishing you a speedy recovery and hope you are better and fully well again soon from all of us at the Business Bunker Show. Right, what else have we got here? There is... a Southeast... Oh, this is interesting. There's a Southeast Create Growth Programme Award... the Create Growth Programme is a first of its kind. It's an opportunity targeted at creative businesses with the potential to grow. The award acknowledges the highly entrepreneurial pool of high growth potential creative businesses in the Southeast, not yet at the scaling stage, who can benefit from intensive targeted expert support to help them secure the investment they need to grow their businesses. This free program will provide the Southeast creative businesses with the support, the networks and investment they need, transforming their innovative creative ideas into the leading creative businesses of the future. Following a competitive process, a consortium of partners led by Kent County Council, working on behalf of the Southeast creative, cultural and digital sector, has secured one of only six awards of £1.275 million to regional partnerships across the UK to deliver the Creative Growth Programme. If you want to find out more, go to Kent County Council website, kentcountycouncil.gov.uk, to find out about that new grant application. Right, we've got another guest to talk to, the fabulous Jan Cavell. Jan is an entrepreneur, businesswoman and author. And I've taken this opportunity, because it's only me here, to do a bit of a sneaky thing. I've snuck in a second cheeky tunage. So, here we go.
It's an absolute pleasure to welcome back onto the Business Monkey Show, Jan Covell. Jan is an author and businesswoman. Jan, good afternoon. Welcome to the show. Happy New Year.
Good afternoon, and a very, very happy New Year to you too, Paul, and all your listeners too.
Thank you. Well, we're all hoping, I think, that 2023 is a much better year than the last couple of years. So we're all keeping our fingers crossed. Jan, it's a pleasure to see you again. You have been on the show in the past, quite a long time ago now, and we thought it was about time we brought you back and had a catch up with what you're doing, because we know you've been up to things doing stuff. But for those that don't remember, let's kick off by telling people a little bit about you and your background, because you are a serial entrepreneur and businesswoman of some quite renown.
I don't know if that's good or bad, but yes, that's lovely. Thank you. I've had a lot of businesses in my time. One particularly I grew and had for a long time, actually, in my belief, too long, but that's a different story. I think it's very easy to burn out, which is what happened to me, if you hang on to a business forever and ever. But I also had lots of little startups, and I'm a great champion of micro businesses as well as growing businesses. So, and that was something actually that really featured in my career all along. I was doing a lot of work on the side, free work, to encourage other entrepreneurs. And it's something I'm really passionate about. And I've got more time because I don't have businesses anymore. You know, it's what I focus on really is to try and encourage others.
Yeah, absolutely. I particularly apposite for me is what you said there, that you had a business that you held on for too long. And I think that that's a pattern that I recognise as well, not just with me, but friends, acquaintances, and what have you. It's a problem, isn't it? When you found a business, it's your baby, and
of course.
And giving it up is like giving up your kids for adoption.
Yes, it's so true. And you always hope it's going to be. There's always a reason not to do it. You think I've had enough of this, or it's had enough of me, or whatever. But there's always a good reason why next year or next month might be a better time to part company. And, you know, then all of a sudden you're wishing you did it 5 years earlier.
Yeah, you've missed the peak and then you're struggling. No, I really get that. And I think that it's a really important point in the whole cycle of entrepreneurialism and business creation is that exits are as important as entrances.
I couldn't agree more, Paul. And the funny thing is we go into businesses so often knowing absolutely zero about exit. So when that moment comes and you're debating whether to do it or not, it's also very frightening. And, you know, you're meat for every shark out there if you're not careful as well.
Yeah,
but, you know, but it's something we often don't know anything about.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I couldn't agree more on that. And then, of course, as you say, you get people circling around you saying, we can sell your business, or we can do this, or we can do that. And you go, I don't know.
Because you get the feel that they're not ideal. But you know, it gets out on the grapevine that you might be having had enough. You know, there are a lot of people out there scouting for business owners who might have had enough.
Yeah, absolutely. So having exited your businesses in one way or another, you then moved on, as you say, to become very passionate and supportive of micro and small businesses. And tell us some of the things that you've been doing. Well, you know, I know that you write books, and we're going to talk about your books in a moment, obviously. But I want to get a feel for you, Jan, and your passions and what you're doing.
Well, I started years ago when I had a business. I was asked, I mean, to give you an idea, it was originally the first campaign I got involved in was started by Margaret Hodge. So we are going back a long way.
Right.
But I was asked to be one of the first 50 women to promote entrepreneurship within the EU to represent Britain, which was a huge honour anyway, and absolutely fascinating. And it was still at the point in time where a lot of people hadn't heard of the word entrepreneur. And so, you know, our job was to go out into schools, colleges, small business groups, and say, you can, you know, this is a possibility, as well as going to work in the local bank or whatever, which was mostly what the schools were still flogging. You know, you could start your own business if you wanted to, and that is an option, which was tremendously rewarding. And we worked with other countries and compared notes as to how it was done. So that was what started me off on it. Okay. And I just loved it.
Yeah, I can imagine. I didn't know that. So I now need to pick your brains about that. So you were talking to other EU member states about entrepreneurialism and business startup. This is a very open-ended question. I realise that, and it's a bit difficult. But have you a general overview of how each of the other EU states thinks about small business? You know, our politicians in this country quite often sing the praises of small businesses while killing as many as possible.
I'm so glad you added that, Paul.
You know, I just wondered what, and I own a small business in France, for instance. Yeah. And it's a terrible place to do business as a small business.
Yeah.
The regulations, the tax regime and everything is just really, really bad. And I just wonder what the thoughts and feelings at a higher level were about the promotion of small business.
It was interesting. I didn't get to talk to every country, you know, and that in itself was interesting, you know, because if we went, for example, to the European Parliament and there were groups of women there, you know, and you saw, it always fascinated me, for example, that in the sessions there was, at one point there was, I think, could it have been Algeria? No, it was Albania, and it was an A. Albania, and they supposedly, the women speakers had speaker had lost their voice, so right. They had to have the husband speaking for them. Now, was that true?
Right.
Yeah. Question mark. But the people I got to know best actually were the Maltese group. And right. They were very, very active. But I know exactly what you mean about France. And there's, you know, while obviously workers' rights are terribly important, I mean, in France, it's almost terrifying to take on somebody, isn't it, to work for you. You know, it's your lifetime responsibility, come what may.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm a great believer in workers' rights, but there comes a point where you're just going to go, well, I'm sorry, I can't employ anybody under those circumstances because they're not even going to come to work. It was just a kind of throwaway line. No, it's interesting. It is interesting. And I think there's a divide between, and again, this is just my opinion, there's a divide between what politicians say and what they actually do. And, you know, for me, small businesses, micro businesses, small businesses are the lifeblood of the economy. But we tend to write rules and regulations to suit big businesses.
I know. It's crazy. I mean, there's the, you know, for the Pay 30 Days campaign, which I'm sure you know of, you know, which no politician will get on board, as far as I can see, simply because the big boys might not like it.
Yeah, exactly. You
know? And yet it would make just a world of difference to every micro business out there.
It's not exactly onerous either, is it, to ask someone to pay their bill?
No. They could do it so much easier than most of the things they mutter about doing to help, and yet, you know, will they do it? Yeah. Seemingly not. Hopefully this year, maybe.
we'll cross our fingers, but
I'm not going to hold my breath.
Yeah. Okay. So you've had this loads of experience both in business yourself and talking about entrepreneurialism at a Europe-wide level. I know that you're an author these days and you write prodigiously on small business and entrepreneurship. Just tell us what you've written so far and then we can talk about your new book. Yeah.
I mean, I'd written articles for Real Business for many years when I had a business still, I guess, and they wanted sort of real life experiences of entrepreneurs, and so I thought when I stopped, I thought, now what do I do? Because I'm retired and I don't know what to do, but I still want to help others, and what about my writing? And a book seemed to be the obvious answer, and so I wanted to explore the problems of that people have growing. And I wrote my first book, which was Scale for Success, and Bloomsbury took it up. And that came out, unfortunately, very bad timing, actually, just beginning of a pandemic.
Oh, wow.
But it was still an amazing experience to have a book out with Bloomsbury. And, you know, yeah. Luckily I got to go to their offices just before things shut down. So I, you know, got the whole amazing experience of going to where they are, which is pretty special in itself.
Yeah.
But yeah, so Scale for Success came out, and that was addressing the sort of problems that businesses have leaping up from 1 to 10 million, which that gap is really hard. And I'd find that myself. And it's where I always remember somebody in a book who I interviewed describing it as the death valley of businesses.
Yeah.
And it is, it's, you know, we hear so much about startup failure, but actually growing businesses fail at an amazing rate as well, because that's really, really tough. And I wanted to explore that a bit more.
Yeah.
So I did start, battling myself now, Scale for Success. But then I thought, now what? You know, my dreams fulfilled, and I still have this itch to help entrepreneurship. And so I thought, right, okay, this is the other half that I'd muttered to Bloomsbury about, but I still wanted to do. And it seems like the wrong way around. But now out, or available to pre-order right now out this month, is Start for Success.
Right.
And I think it's really relevant, actually, because I think that 2023 is going to be the year of startups. I really do.
Okay.
Because I think we've got so many people, we've got quick quitters, which I can never say, yeah. You know, who are wanting more out of life, you know, more freedom, had enough. We've got still the great resignations, and we've got mass redundancies.
Yeah.
All that adds up to me to a lot of people going to be looking to start either side hustles or their own business successfully in 2023, and that's what I want to help,
right.
Both those and the ones who are struggling to grow and want to have a look at where their foundations might be right or not.
It's interesting you say that, because I hadn't really thought about it, which is fairly dumb, because I'm just about to start two new businesses of my own. I hadn't even thought about startups. I'm more angry with all the failures that the government have introduced over the last couple of years. And I haven't really thought about startups. And as I say, I'm right in the middle of launching two new businesses now that are about to open in early 2023. So
exciting.
You're absolutely right. I hadn't even thought about it myself. What do you think is the impetus for that, Jan? Is it part of this? You made reference yourself there to the quitters, people quitting their jobs in droves, of 5 million people not working in the UK, and it's this lifestyle thing that people don't want to commute, they don't want to, you know, don't want to surrender their life to corporate work anymore. Do you think that's part of the drive for people starting their own business, starting side hustles?
I do, definitely. It, you know, if they want to take control, to have more say in their life, they often want to have more impact. You know, so they may start businesses directly or indirectly that actually impact on, for example, the environment. You know, it doesn't matter what they do, but they may focus that give back of what they do on making it a better world. Or they just want more freedom and control of their lifestyle.
Yeah.
Or they want to actually recession-proof themselves as much as they can, and they don't have much faith in other businesses anymore, which you know, is often understandable.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I'd also like your view on this, because something I've noticed is there seems to be quite a large push to social enterprises and non-profit businesses, CICs.
Absolutely. I mean, I have mixed feelings about the actual setup of CICs. I know too many entrepreneurs who've set up that way and decided to change it into a limited company, but still do the same thing. But that's a different issue. But I think that you're absolutely right. There's a phenomenal growth in people wanting to have that effect, to start something that makes a difference, to do something about what has undoubtedly become quite a challenging world. And again, I think it's that fight back we have of trying to take some control in the chaos. You know, that's healthy. That's got to be good for us all.
Yeah, absolutely. And just as a thought point as well, and I totally agree with what you were saying about people's rationale for starting those kind of businesses. One of the things that does kind of amaze me a little bit is though, even though the concept was invented, I believe, in this country in the 19th century, we're still not great ones at cooperative working. Yeah, there's some, you know, there's a famous co-op store, there's John Lewis Partnership, there's a few well-known cooperatives, but not many. And that surprises me still.
Yeah, I wonder if it's an interesting point. I wonder if it'll have a comeback, you know, or not.
Yeah.
Fascinating. Okay, you give me something to actually think about for the rest of the day.
Well, one of the reasons I was thinking about that, and I suddenly, my mind, I'm getting old and I can't remember things as well as I used to. but we were talking earlier about exiting a business. Mm. And one of the exit trends at the moment is what I would call a management buyout, but it's actually a sale to the staff.
Yeah.
And there's a particular term for it, and I can't remember what it is. I apologise. I'll remember after the interview. But there's a particular term to it, and it's got a particular structure because it isn't a management buyout. It's a staff share sale or something like that it's called, which effectively will turn a business into a co-op.
Into a co-op. Really.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's an exit trend that's started to gather pace a little bit. So maybe that will be the route that makes more of that happen.
Quite possibly. I mean, I think it probably depends on the business, but there's certainly been an enormous growth in businesses giving equity to everybody. It's much, much simpler to do now. It used to be really heinous, you know, and you couldn't get the equity back if things went wrong and all sorts of things for business. It was just impossible. But it's now comparatively easy for a company to give their staff equity and have a really good team equity deal set up. And so I guess that's, but, you know, I think that, again, is companies fighting back and trying to give people that bit of control to stop them maybe wandering off and starting their own businesses. But I don't think it'll stop them altogether.
No, absolutely. And it's just something that fascinates me because politically, we do tend to get down to this kind of Victorian view of entrepreneurs as evil capitalists that exploit workers. And I have to say, in my business experience, not just for me personally, but just about every business person I know has a great fondness and care for the people that work for them. In small businesses, I'm talking about.
Yeah.
You know, big corporates just lose sight of humanity, whether they're customers or workers.
I think you're absolutely right. And I think entrepreneurs are misunderstood in many ways. And that also goes for people who are thinking as to whether it might be for them or not.
Yeah.
And that was another thing I was trying very hard to do with Start for Success, because I got a lot of stories into it from other entrepreneurs right across the globe.
Right.
And, you know, till you've experienced the life of an entrepreneur, you have really no idea what it's like. It's a crazy roller coaster.
Yeah.
And the excitement and the highs and the lows and the challenges and the unexpected. And I, you know, no amount of the sort of school books business, I don't think, give you any hint of that. And I really wanted to do that with Start. So, but Start for Success actually gives people an idea of what it is like.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because I think that's important.
Oh, it is massively important. And it's massively important on a number of levels. Just recently, I mean, are you probably aware I hang around a lot on Twitter and do stuff? And it never ceases to amaze me the kind of things that people post. And I'm not just talking about random idiot people. I'm talking about, you know, politicians and people that should know better and stuff like that. The kind of stuff that they post when they talk about businesses really does amaze me sometimes. You know, there was somebody posting the other day going, well, you know, the thing about business owners is they never do any work. Excuse me. You know, they're just exploiting workers. Without the workers, you know, they wouldn't have any money. Well,
sakes. I mean, I had a lot of it where I was in, you know, where I had my business, you know. Yeah. People would say to me, oh, well, you've got your own business, so you must be rich.
You know? Oh, I had that. I had that on LinkedIn as well. Some I moaned on LinkedIn about my electricity bill, which was £1,000 for a month. Yeah, not my domestic one, not my business one, which is far more expensive. My domestic bill, I moaned, and I got absolutely slaughtered with people going, "Well, you own businesses, you're rich. What are you moaning about?"
I'm joking. Still,
yeah, really, yeah, really.
I mean, it's very rarely the motivation behind people starting businesses.
Absolutely.
You know, they don't necessarily have that expectation. There are a few who are so focused, and in which case they'll almost certainly be focused on exit from the start.
Yeah.
And they will be doing it for a set period of time to build up that nest egg so that they can get the hell out.
Yeah.
But, you know, just for starting a business, even quite a bigger one, it's a lifestyle choice.
Yes.
And it doesn't put money at the top of the list. No way.
Absolutely. I can absolutely corroborate that. Some years ago, quite a long time ago now, I did a survey on that, and making money was third or fourth.
Yeah, that's
right. The list of things that people did it for. The two main criteria were to make a difference.
Yep.
And to have a flexible lifestyle.
Yeah, absolutely.
They were the two main criteria for starting small businesses. And making money. I mean, people obviously want to make a living, but, you know, they didn't go into this game, do you know what, I'm going to be a billionaire. You know, it wasn't the Del Trotter school of entrepreneurialism. Okay, so let's talk about the book. Is it available now? When's it released?
It's actually launched on the 25th, but it's available to pre-order now. It's just gone live to pre-order, so you can leap onto Amazon or wherever and order your copy in any format you like.
Okay. Well, if we can talk a little, without giving too much away, because people are going to buy the book and read it and get the full essence of it. Just give us an overview of the journey through the book.
Well, we go through the basics of not so much, you know, going to company's house, it's not that sort of book, but, you know, actually thinking about why you're going to do it, how you're going to get your mindset right, which is so important.
Yeah.
And right way through to things like emotionally connecting with customers, which it has become so important now, you know, to actually retain customers. We talk a lot about raising money in case, or versus bootstrapping, which is going to be necessary for a lot of companies this year. We talk about culture, talking about people, and how to see if we can get a really healthy culture. And different, oddly enough, we're talking about different structures as well, so that people start thinking about, you know, rather than I have to set up in that traditional hierarchy like we were talking about.
Yeah.
So it's a really good look at that. But what I've tried to do is because I wanted this feel of real entrepreneurship in there. Is use these stories from entrepreneurs across the globe to illustrate the points I was making. And so, you know, I just put some shout outs to people I knew or on journo links I have. And I got these amazing stories back, which are, you know, people were so good. They were so honest about, you know, really quite big, well-known business owners who you would know the names of, you know, it's just saying, oh, yeah, absolutely, I got this wrong at the start. And, you know, this is such an easy trap to fall into. And, you know, then funny stories of ridiculous things that happened, you know, strange ways customers behave. And, you know.
It's interesting, isn't it? Because we tend to focus on those businesses that have become successful. And become household names or celebrities or, you know, wealthy or whatever. We don't concentrate on the thousands and thousands and thousands of small businesses that either kind of bubble along with most micro businesses, they tend to be, you know, single person businesses. Trades like a plumber or an electrician or a painter. Or whatever, and they're never going to be huge, it's a lifestyle business for the person running the business. They're very successful without being huge, and there are constraints to how people will grow those businesses as well. At the moment, the current constraint is 85,000 a year, after which you have to start messing around with VAT. People deliberate. I know hundreds of small businesses that deliberately keep their business below that level so they never have to register for VAT, which is dumb. Not dumb from them, but it's government dumb.
Absolutely.
Okay, so that's really fascinating. I'm looking forward to reading the book. I'm going to go and buy it as soon as this interview is finished, and I'm going to read it because, like you, I'm fascinated by this whole thing. I want to ask you a couple of other questions to see if they came out in your interviews with all these people and the thinking behind the book. And you made reference to it yourself about the difference between raising equity and bootstrapping. I, in the past, I've operated as an angel investor and lost a huge amount of money, all of it offset by one investment I made that covered all the losses I made, which was kind of lucky. But with my own businesses, I've always bootstrapped them. And especially with small businesses, increasingly I'm asked more and more and more about fundraising to start a business.
Yeah.
And I go, what are you trying to
Why?
Do? Why do you need the money? And invariably, without it even being said, is what people are trying to do is pay their salary while they start the business.
Partly, yeah. And very much so.
You know,
and it's crazy. They don't have to do that.
Yeah, exactly. And I'd say to people, but you're trying to get someone to invest in your business, a business that doesn't do anything yet, so has no value, and you want £100,000 for them. And you're struggling to do that because they all know that you're going to spend it on buying yourself a company car and paying your salary. You know,
so true.
Yeah.
And it's become absolutely obsessional now. I mean, oddly enough, I tell that story in the book. And when I was writing it, I was on one of the Facebook groups and somebody was saying, where do I raise investment for my business? And I said, you know, have you thought about bootstrapping just as you would? And he said, what's that? Why, you know, why should I do that? So we went through it and he went, well, you've obviously never had a business. You don't know what you're talking about. and, you know, it's become that obsessional with people that the only way they could possibly start is to go in Dragon's Den, you know. it's not
absolutely
like that. It's not the real world.
And I try, even when I was investing in businesses myself, I would try to talk people out of it. You're asking me to buy 25% of your business, yeah? Do you have any comprehension of what the long-term effect of that is, yeah? You know, you don't even know me. You just want my money. But yeah, I'm going to own – I'm actually going to buy 26% because there's a law that says if I own 26%, you can't do me, even if you own, you know, majority voting rights, yeah?
Sure.
So I can stop you doing anything – by owning 26% of your business. Why would you even want that? You know, I mean, obviously there are some businesses that just require capital, but not many.
It's majorly not even the big tech companies. I mean, if you can learn enough programming to start your own website, it's slower. You know, that's really the key, isn't it? It just takes longer if you haven't got a massive capital investment.
Yeah.
But, you know, you get to keep the whole thing. It's as simple as that.
Cool.
So so there's lots of pros and cons.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And you know, it is horses for courses. It is, you know, what you're trying to do and how you need to do it, for sure.
I must quickly mention before I forget, because I have forgotten so far, is to celebrate the launch, we're putting on a couple of big virtual events, and that's one of the things that we'll be talking about at the events. I've got many entrepreneurs speaking on the 25th, so if anybody wants to come along and hear more about those things.
Do let me know about that, Jan, and we'll publicise it on all of our social accounts and on the radio show. Yeah.
Oh, so lovely. I will.
Yeah, I'll
make sure
about
that comes through.
Because people will be fascinated by that. Okay, look, thank you so much for joining us. Just to round off, give us the title of the book again, tell people where they can buy it, and then tell people how they can find out more about you.
Absolutely. The book is Start for Success, and they can buy it easily on Amazon, which is, let's face it, where most people go, or various other places as well, but you should find it quickly on Amazon for pre-order now. And they can find out more about both me and the book on jancavell.co.uk.
Fantastic. There are links to that on the Chem Business Radio website, if you didn't get that, to Jan's website and to buying the book. Jan, thank you so much for that. We wish you much success with the book. I'm going to rush off and buy a copy and have a good read. Enjoy the rest of your day and hope you have a happy and successful 2023.
You too, Paul. Thank you very much. Good luck with the two startups.
Thank you. Yeah, thank you.
That was Jan Cavell there. Author of Start for Success. I remembered afterwards what I was trying to remember when I was talking to Jan about selling shares to your employees. It's called an employee ownership trust, and it's a way of passing on, it's a way of exiting your business by letting the staff have the business, basically. So that's worth a look if you're interested in such things. And I've also got more details. Jan was just saying about her two virtual webinars around the book, which are happening, and I've got a lot more detail now about that, which I'm going to let you know right now. To celebrate the release of Start for Success, Jan is hosting an interactive webinar alongside a list of international entrepreneurs. It's a virtual event, and it's taking place on the 25th of January, and there are two time slots. There's a 10 a.m. time slot and a 6 p.m. time slot. The agenda is an introduction from Start to Success by author Jan Cavell, followed by a roundtable discussion from international founders, closing with a Q&A from the audience. The 10 a.m. session will be Danny Matthews of Danny & Co., Georgia Metcalf of French Bedroom Company, Shem Richards of Goldilocks Suit, Tom Mills of Two Ocean Strategy, Lena Barker of Aaron Wallace, and Richard Osborne of UK Business Forums. The 6 p.m. session will be Mark Hayward of Sway PR, Glenn Bimami of BPS Security, Laura Harnett of The Seep Company, Dr. Weixin Lei of Acoustic Sheep, Daniel Koffler of New Frontiers, and Michael Holmstrom of Stempunks. You can find out more about those webinars and book your place by going to kempbusinessradio.co.uk/calendar, and you can find out all about it there. That's the 25th of January, two virtual events around Start Your Business. Cool. Terry Botfield has been on from the Marsh Network. The next meeting of breakfast for the Marsh Network is at the Base Point at 7:45 a.m. on Tuesday the 10th of January. It's available to book by going to www.marshnetwork.co.uk. Our breakfast meetings are about spending most of the time on networking, building relationships and your business in a relaxed professional atmosphere. So come along and grow your network and your business. There's a full English breakfast will be served. There's vegetarian and vegan options available. Just mail me after booking if you want the vegetarian or vegan options. So that's Terry Botfield, TD Botty on the Twitter, or go to www.marshnetwork.co.uk. Fantastic stuff. Just while we're talking about those local events, I'm going to be speaking this Wednesday, tomorrow morning, at the Wealden Business Group networking meeting, which is taking place at the White Lion in Tenterton. So if you remember there, I look forward to seeing you at some unearthly hour in the morning for breakfast. Looking forward to it. I haven't been to one of those meetings for a few months, so it will be good fun to catch up again as the start of the new year. Right, let me just see if there's any more tweets that I need to read, because Jules has been filling up my I don't know if you remember earlier, we were talking about me killing a plant, and Nurse Liz from over there in Philadelphia in the US was saying she kills plants. Karen Heron, who's a really great friend of ours that runs a business radio show in the United States, he's just tweeted, "Liz, I would reframe this. You're not killing the plants. The plants did not have the background skills and experience required to successfully execute their duties as assigned." Nice one, Ken. So Jules is now tucking into port and cheese and coughing at the same time, apparently. I don't know. She sent me a picture of her port and cheese and crisps. and something that she's claimed is organic charcuterie. It looks to me like some kind of raw tongue. Oh, I don't know what it is. Doesn't look very appetizing, but there you go. And she's necking port at the same time with it. Typical. Okay, right. There's a few other things going on that I need to tell you about. There's a new initiative that's set to help 50 homeless people in Maidstone. The ultimate aim of the project is to prevent anyone having to sleep rough on the borough's streets. Maidstone Borough Council and Beam, an online fundraising platform and social enterprise, are working together to help homeless people and council tenants at risk of homelessness to find work and stable accommodation. Through Beam's platform, residents can read the personal stories of people who are in need and donate towards the cost of items that can be a financial obstacle to starting work or moving into a new home, such as job training, childcare, a laptop, travel costs or rental deposits. Each person's page includes an itemised budget breakdown of how much they need to raise. Members of the public can donate and leave a message of support. They'll also receive feel-good updates as people progress on their journey out of homelessness. Beam ensures everyone reaches their target by spreading about 80% of public donations equally, so no one gets left behind. So Beam first launched in London in 2017 and has since gone on to support more than 1,200 homeless people across the UK into stable jobs and homes. As well as providing funding support, Beam helps job seekers with CV writing, job interview preparation and online job applications. If you want to know more, go to maidstone.gov.uk/stay connected to find out all about it. Okay. In spring 2023, a brand new business community space is due to open on the outskirts of Tenterton on the A28. The new space consists of four buildings set in landscape grounds with on-site car parking. There's co-working and hot desking availability from one day per week with a range of options. Membership of the co-working space is all-inclusive and offers ultra-high-speed Wi-Fi, tea, coffee, shower facilities and much more. Prices starting from just £60 a month for your office. There's also a range of private office pods and offices to suit from one desk up to six desks. Again, all-inclusive rent, rates, energy, Wi-Fi, tea and coffee with prices starting from just £250 a month. Or for tenants that require a larger space, there's also units of up to 2,500 square feet. So that's due to open in roughly March, April time this year. It will be available towards the end of January, February to have a look round. If you want to find out more about it or book a tentative look round, if you go to kentbusinessradio.co.uk/TP-Tenterton, TP-Tenterton, you can find out more about it, where it is, and book a tour to have a look round as soon as the major building work on the site has been completed. Okay, let's see what else we've got. This interested me, actually. I saw this a while ago, and it's a bit of a change in approach, I think, and quite a welcome change in approach as well, which is good. But there's a pent-up demand for mentoring in small business community as the UK heads into the most challenging macroeconomic environment for decades. A major new report launched recently has found the nation's appetite for mentoring is on the rise, with 82% of firms saying they are now more interested in being mentored, according to Mentoring Matters, commissioned by small business support platform Enterprise Nation, business support provider Newable, and the Association of Business Mentors, and conducted by policy research firm Policy Department. The report launched on National Mentoring Day found that this growing appetite is reflected by a broader move towards mentoring in the UK's business advice culture. Two-thirds, or 61% of respondents, said that mentoring's reputation among their peers and business colleagues had increased, with young founders seeing fewer barriers to being mentored than older entrepreneurs, suggesting there's also a growing role for mentoring to play in the future. Well, that's good news, because I think it's really useful to get outside advice from people that have experience of running businesses and doing innovative things. So, and let's see how that kind of pans out in the next year or so in terms of people taking up more mentoring opportunities. Right, I'm just trying to check that I haven't missed anything on Twitter. I've got a couple of other emails that I need to read out to you. There are messages coming in. Some of them I can't read because they're about Jules's diet. Oh, right, now she's sharing pictures of my dead poinsettia now. Right. Hiring an apprentice is a great way for your business to develop a talented, motivated and skilled workforce. Government funding is available to help cover apprenticeship training and assessment costs. There are a range of funding options available. In some cases, the government fully funds the apprenticeship training and assessment. Your business could also get £1,000 for taking on an apprentice who is either age 16 to 18, age 19 to 25, and has an education healthcare plan or has been in the care of their local authority. If your apprentice is under 25, you may also be exempt from paying Class 1 national insurance contributions. If you want to find out more about apprenticeships, and I think you do, apprenticeships.gov.uk/employers. That's apprenticeships.gov.uk/employers, and find out more about apprenticeships. We're still struggling to find enough talent and enough staff and enough people to fill the 1.2 million vacant jobs we have in the UK at the moment. We have 3.7% unemployment, so we have almost full employment. We have 1.2 million jobs unfilled. We need to do everything we can to get people into the workforce. I would like to suggest that if you run a small or medium-sized enterprise and you're looking at recruiting, that you should pursue at least reviewing the opportunity to take on an apprentice or two even. So do that. I think we're basically at the end of the show, really. Thank you for joining us on this first show of 2023. Jules will be back next week. We've got a fantastic lineup of guests for next week. But in the meantime, Happy New Year to everybody. Stay safe. We'll see you all soon. Bye for now.